For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yo, Evan and Tiki on a Friday here in New York City. And like I always say about Tiki Barber, when he's off, it's not because he's on vacation. It's because he's actually working. So he's on football assignment. Because unfortunately for him, he's got to call a dopey preseason game over the weekend. Poor Teak. And then after that, he's actually going to take a real vacation. So to fill in for Tiki Barber, we have brought in the hottest author in America right now. Everybody wants to talk to this guy. He knows all the secrets about Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about the best-selling author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, Ian O'Connor. Ian, thank you very much for sitting in for Tiki today.
Evan, it's great to be with you. I can't believe I've never met you until today. And so I've been a big fan of yours from afar, and thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. I've been speed reading your book, and what I mean by that is listening to your book, courtesy of an audiobook. And we will certainly talk about it, and we'll talk about Rodgers, and we'll get to football throughout this program. But you have written many a book, okay? And I actually want to bring up one of the guys that you've written about before. And this popped into my mind last night. I was trying to stay up watching the Met game. And commercial breaks are always the most difficult for West Coast games because you could easily fall asleep. And so while I was watching the game, I was curious who was showing up for Yankees Old Timers Day. And I saw the list, and I saw they're honoring the 2009 Yankees, which is very, very cool. And I saw the list, and I was like, oh, okay, look, CeCe's going to be there. A-Rod's going to be there. And then I saw Derek Jeter. And I started thinking to myself, Derek Jeter is the king of this city over the last 40 years. There's nobody close. Eli isn't close. Even LT, as great as he was, isn't close in terms of just sheer popularity of what Derek Jeter accomplished on the field and what he accomplished off the field. He is the king. And at Yankee Stadium over the weekend, he's going to get a huge standing ovation. We are currently watching a baseball player that plays on his team in his city that from a talent perspective has already passed them. I mean, Aaron Judge is arguably one of the great players we've ever seen. And I started racking my brain thinking to myself, all right, Aaron Judge has 48 home runs. He leads the league. He's got an outside shot to win the Triple Crown. He's definitely going to win his second MVP. You could argue it should be his third MVP. Is there anything Aaron Judge could possibly do to surpass Derek Jeter?
I just think he needs to win one World Series.
Just one.
Yeah, because he is better. Everyone knows that. And I was thinking about this the other day, Evan. I've been watching baseball, and so I'm turning 60 in a few days. I've been watching baseball seriously for 50 years. Peak Aaron Judge is the second best player I've ever seen. Barry Bonds would be the first. Now, this is post-Willie Mays, because I didn't really catch Willie Mays when he was a real player. So Aaron Judge, he's just the guy, he's the first guy I've seen, maybe outside of Bonds, who when he doesn't hit a home run at the plate, his presentation at the plate is so overwhelming. When he doesn't hit a home run, I'm shocked. And I was working for the New York Post as a columnist a couple years ago, and I'm at the game, and I'm looking out from the press box at center field, and I'm seeing a 6'7", 282-pound man playing Joe DiMaggio's position and doing it with grace and agility and athleticism. And I said to myself, I do not care what happens in this game. I am writing about that man playing that position because it's unbelievable. He's an NBA power forward playing center field without much problem at all. So I did. I think Stanton hit two home runs that day, and I ignored it. I just said, it's overlooked. It's like we've almost taken him for granted a little bit. Just how amazing it is that a guy that size is that good and that agile that he could play center field for the New York Yankees. So he is, at his peak, the second best player I think I've ever seen, including Ohtani. When he's not pitching, I would still take Judge over Ohtani.
Ohtani's like a cheat code because of the pitching thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we could all give that answer because when he pitches and hits, we've never seen it before. But it's almost cheating. It's almost cheating the idea of who's the greatest player you've actually ever seen. But I agree with you, and I think most people would agree, that if Judge isn't number one, he's in that kind of short conversation. Like, for me, the only other guy I would put up there is Albert Pujols. I thought prime Pujols was, like, unbelievable to watch. But he was so different than Aaron Judge, because while he did it for that same power, he also would never strike out, which to me was like a really impressive thing. But nevertheless, we all agree he's better than Jeter in terms of being a player. But you know why I'm not even sure one championship would surpass him in a lot of Yankee fans' eyes? I think Jeter's got the Jordan treatment, in that we saw Derek Jeter win so much at such a young age, that even though he only won the one World Series in the last decade of his career, he feels like the definition of a champion. And I don't know if one title would be enough for a lot of Yankee fans to say, oh yeah, he surpassed the ultimate winner. The guy won 5 World Championships, 4 of them in the first 5 years of his career. And what I'm saying isn't fair, by the way. I know that. Mm-hmm. But it also just kind of feels like the reality of the mystique of Jeter is almost impenetrable.
But I think the Yankee fan is smart enough to realize that if you transport Aaron Judge back to 96 and put him on that team, how many championships does Aaron Judge win? 5, right? I mean, he, as good as he is, are you telling me that Aaron Judge would not have won the same amount of rings as Derek Jeter?
You know what,
he was on that team with the amount of support.
Yeah.
This is what killed A-Rod, okay? And I was the first time I met Alex Rodriguez was at the 1998 NBA All-Star Game at Madison Square Garden. I think that was Jordan's last one and Kobe's first one. Jeter was in the stands. They had just traded for Knobloch, and everyone thought this is going to be the greatest double play combination ever. And Rodriguez was sitting with Jeter in the stands. And at halftime, I went over there because Jeter hadn't commented about the Knobloch acquisition. So I was talking to Jeter. Everyone was surrounding him, and Alex got completely ignored. He was standing by himself.
That must have driven him nuts.
Yeah, and I went over there and talked to him. He gave me some great stuff about how Derek Jeter is Joe Montana. He just got his Jerry Rice in Knobloch. Great quote. I'm talking, but I remember seeing him alone, because he was in Seattle, obviously, at the time, being ignored. Peyton Manning came rushing up to Jeter, shook his hand, and I remember thinking to myself, this guy wants the big market and the big stage, and he knows he's better than Derek Jeter,
right?
But it doesn't matter, because he can't win the rings and wasn't winning the rings. And so I think that people realize baseball's different, and A-Rod told me this. If I played basketball, nobody would be talking about, they'd be talking about me in a different context, because I'd have 3 or 4 rings.
Right.
Barry Bonds would have had 5 or 6 rings, because in basketball, you can give the ball to LeBron James at every possession, and in baseball, you may not have the ball hit to you, pitchers may pitch around you, so your impact on winning and winning championships is a lot smaller than it is as opposed to an NBA 2 guard.
Oh, no doubt. But you know what hurt, I think, Alex, Barry, and Aaron Judge? I think Aaron Judge is in the same conversation. Fair or not, because it's a small sample size. They didn't perform in the postseason for a big part of their careers. Bonds eventually did. A-Rod eventually did. A-Rod eventually had the huge monumental playoff of 2009, which he'll be honored for over the weekend, and they don't win a World Series without him. That's why when you ask that question, hey, if Aaron Judge is on the late 90s Yankee teams, you don't think they win every World Series? Well, my first response would probably be, sure, he's a great player, but not if he's hitting 050 in the ALCS. Not if he's coming up small in the postseason. And I think that's the other part of Judge's resume that I know he can't touch in late August. There's nothing he could do about that on a Friday night against the Colorado Rockies. But that's the other aspect that needs to change for him to ever get to that level.
But
he's got to have monster outdoors.
Does he hit 050 with Bernie there, with Paul O'Neill there, with Tino there, and all the support? And listen, Derek Jeter is an all-timer. There's just, I don't want to take anything away from the guy. I wrote a book about him because I have him 5th all-time among great Yankees. I think Judge will end up ahead of him on that list, whether he wins a championship or not, based on just the fact that the superstar in baseball doesn't have the same impact as he has in football as a quarterback and basketball at any position. So no, I think that if you surrounded Judge with the same talent that the Yankees had, the same pitching staff, he'd already have a couple of rings and he'd be off to the races. So I just think the Yankee fan is going to say, we understand that, and he doesn't have the same team around him that Jeter did. And if he can just get one to validate everything, I think they'll be willing to put him ahead of Jeter on their own little personal Mount Rushmore.
I'm skeptical, man. I almost think it needs to be multiple. Like, the one thing I've learned about studying the Yankee fan in all my years of watching them. Like, I'm independent. I'm a Met fan. I'm a loser. We have nothing, right? And I've watched the Yankee fan over the years, and one is usually not enough. And that's why when I think about this and say, okay, we know he's a better player, right? He's already surpassed it. The best of Aaron Judge is better than the best of Derek Jeter. And like you said, that's not an insult to Derek Jeter. In my opinion, Derek Jeter is the greatest shortstop of my lifetime. I'd put him ahead of Cal Ripken Jr. Saw both of them. I thought Jeter was better. Just my opinion. So I think he's an all-time great player. But I think that Aaron Judge has already surpassed him as a player. But to a lot of Yankee fans, winning and winning often is the thing that makes you a true legend. And I don't even know if one championship would do that. And that's why what Aaron Judge is battling is some of the biggest shadow boxing kind of battles you'll ever see. He has to win often. He has to have a defining October. He has to win a World Series MVP the way Derek Jeter did. And maybe he does, by the way. I'm certainly not one to doubt him. But that's asking a lot, in my opinion, for him to accomplish all of that along with these crazy statistical seasons that he's having. Because I don't think the MVPs and the regular season success, as great as it is, will ever be enough for some Yankee fans to say, yep, that guy passed Derek Jeter.
Particularly now that he has Soto. Assuming that the Yankees keep Juan Soto, he now has his Gehrig. He's Ruth, and there's Lou Gehrig, right? So
some may say better, like Marcus Stroman. He said they're better, and I'm not arguing it, but whatever.
They're probably better, just because everyone's better today than they were back then. But
That's a cop-out, but I respect it.
Okay, and Derek Jeter had Mariano, the greatest closer of all time, and by Secretariat lengths. And Aaron Judge has not had that kind of support at the back end of the bullpen over the course of his career. I don't know. I think Yankee fans are smart enough to celebrate him for who he is and understand that Jeter had a lot more support around him. And I think Judge is going to win. In fact, he might win one this year. But I think if he gets one or two, and one's enough, I think they'll put him ahead of Jeter all time. I would. I think, again, he's the second best player at his peak that I've ever seen in 50 years, including Derek Jeter. So I think they'll get there with him.
You know, Don Mattingly is a guy that pops in a lot of Yankee fans' minds because Don never won anything, right? In the 80s, when he was at his absolute best, and he had a 4.5-year period in which, I don't think there's any question, Don Mattingly was one of the best hitters in baseball. With that said, he's not Aaron Judge, I mean, just to be fair. But I think the reason why Mattingly has never been punished for not winning as a New York Yankee the way everyone else is punished if you don't win here is that I never thought they had those expectations that they have now. I mean, just listening to this radio station or talking to Yankee fans, every single year, fair or not, there is a championship expectation around this franchise. And when they don't win, it is end of the world. It is Cashman's an idiot. This guy's got to go. This manager stinks. Even Aaron Judge felt victim to it. Because remember 2 years ago after the MVP year, he was being booed in the postseason.
I remember.
So I think that's also a part of it. And maybe it's just the era we live in, the kind of instant gratification era. But I think winning has almost become more important than it ever was. And you're right. It may happen this year. I mean, the Yankees could win a World Series this year. It's certainly on the table. He can certainly win one next year. He may end up winning 3 World Championships. But I do think that when you compare the greatness of Aaron Judge, and he's entered greatness territory, and you think about Jeter when he walks out to an adoring crowd at Yankee Stadium over the weekend, that's the big separator.
Okay, so let me ask you a question, Evan. How many home runs does Aaron Judge have to hit in his career without a ring to be put ahead of Jeter in the minds of Yankee fans? Because I had a conversation with him about 15 months ago at his locker in spring training. And I said, it's unfortunate, Aaron, because you got off to a late start. You started in the major leagues at what, age 24, going on 25. And so your chance to have the all-time career home run record is compromised by that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, so, but we talked about getting the 600 and 700.
And what did he say?
He said that, yeah, I want to play into my 40s. And I said, if Tom Brady can do it, why can't you? Mm-hmm. And this is the comparison I made. I said, the Patriots and then the Buccaneers basically built a wall around Brady because of his limitations. He was a pocket passer, even when he was young. And now that he's old, then that was necessary. So your wall would be the DH position. When you turn age 40, I imagine that's going to be the position you're playing the rest of your career. But why can't you do it if Tom Brady did it? And he said exactly. He said, that's what I've been telling them. And this is right after the contract negotiation. So I imagine that was part of the talks with the Yankees that, yeah, I want that extra year, year nine, because I'm playing into my 40s, and don't worry, I will not be a diminished asset at that point. So Aaron Judge is a great athlete, and a better athlete certainly than Tom Brady. So I think he can play into his 40s. And then we did the math and sort of averaged out how many home runs would you need to hit per year.
45.
Yeah, 45 to 50 to get to 650, 700. And it's a lot. It's asking a lot of this guy. But you can't put him in a box because we've never seen a player like him. So your conventional thinking about age and the forces of nature and when guys break down and when they stop hitting home runs, we've never seen an athlete in baseball like Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can put limitations on him. And I'm open-minded to the possibilities of him playing into his 40s and if he can stay healthy, which obviously is a big if he can average 45, 48 home runs, he's going to run that total up there.
Well, there's,
he is the fastest guy to 300 in terms of games and at-bats, correct?
There's two layers to this. There's A, can he actually do it? Can Aaron Judge, as you just described, do the math, can he actually go on a tear over the next 10 years of his career, stay healthy enough, play into his 40s, hit 45, 50 home runs, and actually get to that kind of number? That's question number one. And question number two is...
He did think it was possible, by the way.
I'm glad he does. Yeah. I mean, you got to have confidence. But the second thing is, and I think it's the more interesting thing, and I'm not saying this to be a jerk because I'm different than maybe what the Yankee fan thinks. Like, I'm a loser. And I say that with a smile and joy. Like, the teams I root for have won nothing. So my bar on what I love and what I admire from my athletes is obviously a lot less. It's just the reality. I mean, think about it. You know, think about the teams I root for and the players that I adore. They've won far less than a lot of these other players. I'm just giving you kind of like the observational thought on this. If he hits 750 home runs, let's say he does it. Aaron's right, you're right, Ian. He does it. It's 50 a year, stays healthy till he's 43, and he ends up hitting, not maybe doesn't get to Bonds' record, but passes Babe Ruth, right? He gets the 730 home runs, does all of that, doesn't win a World Series. You think he passes Jeter in a lot of Yankee fans' minds?
I mean, if he's at 700, yeah.
I don't think he does.
I don't know.
Winning is the end-all, be-all with these people. And I respect it. I don't say it like in some kind of negative way.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
It would be almost empty to a lot of people. Because think about it. Think about two years ago.
It's not the NBA. He doesn't play defense. He can't dictate whether pitchers pitch to him. Baseball fans are smart enough to realize that.
You're very rational. The problem is most people aren't.
Well, I grew up a Yankee fan. I was a Reggie and Thurman guy, more a Reggie guy. And I do think Yankee fans sometimes are crazy because they always say, well, October's the only thing that matters.
Right.
Okay. But then if the Yankee team is struggling during the regular season, they go crazy then. Well, you said it's only October that matters, and they're going to make the playoffs. I mean,
sure.
When people were panicking a few weeks ago about them falling through and not even getting the third wild card, that was ridiculous. That was never happening. So I thought that panic was way off mark. And also, by the way, you said the only thing that matters is October. They're getting to October. There's no longer a one-game shootout in that first round. That's key. And you look at last year, how many games did the Diamondbacks win? 84?
Yeah.
Okay, they made the World Series, right? So the Yankees are going to win far more games than that. They'll be fine. I always thought that the panic was crazy, and Yankee fans are like that. But they forget. They always say, even when they win 100-plus games, all that matters is October.
100%.
But that's true when you win 89 games,
totally
too.
Totally agree.
So I feel like they want it both ways, and it gets out of hand.
No, you're 1,000% right. It's all defined by October. But here's the proof that even hitting 700 home runs, which I think is a long shot, but you know what? I respect the hell out of Aaron Judge thinking he can do that.
Well, listen,
that's
now,
amazing.
I talked him maybe into it. I will say that because he was saying at first, he was like, well, because athletes don't want to think that far down the road.
Right, right, right.
And you almost jinx yourself a little bit. But I'm saying that Tom Brady's doing it at 44, 45. You're a better athlete than him. Why can't with the DH position you do it? And he's like, yeah, well, I've been telling them that. Then we looked at the numbers. And so it wasn't like he was eagerly embracing the idea of getting the 700.
Right.
But he didn't dismiss it. Let's put it that way.
Think about 2 years ago, 2022, and it's amazing to say that this season has actually been better than 2022, but it actually has. He may not hit 62 home runs, but look at the RBIs, look at the batting average, look at the OPS. He's had a better season. After the 2022 season ended, and Aaron Judge had this ridiculously amazing historical season, broke the real home run record, right? And I use the fingers because of the steroids. After the season was over and October concluded, Nobody talked about that. It was all about getting swept by the Astros. It was all about Aaron Judge getting booed in the postseason. And obviously, it was all about his free agency. But in terms of the season, his greatness was forgotten because it was overshadowed by losing. And that's my point. And that's the proof that winning, as unfair as it is, because you bring up a lot of great points. It's not basketball. I agree with you. It's not all on him. Of course I agree with you. But sometimes fairness isn't about perception. And I think what that proved in 2022 and what we're even seeing now, all doesn't matter unless he wins and he performs in a big spot. And I got to tell you, it's incredibly unfair. Like Derek Jeter, and you wrote a great book about him. Derek Jeter got the winning out of the way early.
He did.
He won immediately. So Jeter never faced the, you better win, you better perform. He'd already done it. And you're right, he had a great core around him. So I think that the reaction of 22, and you'll see it this year if they don't win at all, proves that as great as he is, he's got to win. And it's grossly unfair, but that's the reality of Aaron Judge's legacy in New York City. And the only way he even comes close to Derek Jeter, and dare I say surpasses Derek Jeter, is he wins, and he wins a lot.
And that is really unfair, because in baseball, that just is, that's not the nature of the sport.
I know.
The superstar cannot dominate under certain circumstances, if you're not pitched to, if the ball's not hit to you. There are so many things that are out of your control in baseball. It's the craziest sport, maybe outside of golf, which is a different story. But Derek Jeter was like a pro golfer who won a major early and then never had to worry about it.
Yes.
That's exactly what happened with him. And I do feel like this conversation, I'm in a position here where I'm taking things away from Derek Jeter, and I really don't mean to do that.
No, and I don't think any of us mean to. Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer. He's the greatest shortstop of all time, in my opinion. I may be controversial to some. He's amazing. He's just not Aaron Judge. That's all I'm saying. And you know what? That's the beauty of Derek Jeter. Because when you guys go out to Yankee Stadium over the weekend, and you go to Old Timers Day, and Alex Rodriguez is out there, and maybe you're explaining to your son or daughter who doesn't remember them, and they're like, hey, Daddy, hey, Mommy, tell me about Alex. Tell me about Derek Jeter. You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, Alex Rodriguez, well, yeah, he was kind of better. He was statistically better. You'll mention the steroids, but Derek Jeter was a winner, and Derek Jeter was ours. A part of the appeal of Derek Jeter, in my opinion, was he was never statistically the best player, but he was still the best. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I sure do. I lived it. I watched it. I covered it. And there was something about that guy. And when my career is about to be over pretty soon here at age 60, the first face I will think of as far as being a columnist in New York City for four decades is Derek Jeter's. And there's a reason for that. Not Aaron Judge and Eli Manning and Jalen Brunson, who I think is another guy that you left off that list. If he wins one championship for a franchise that hasn't won in, 50-plus years?
King.
And the way he carries himself, Jalen Brunson only needs one championship.
No, I totally agree.
Okay, so...
By the way, Jalen Brunson and Aaron Rodgers, and it's because of the franchises, 1,000%. You win one...
You're good.
I mean, the statue will be erected before, the confetti even comes down to the ground.
Messier won 5 in Edmonton. Nobody talks about those 5.
Exactly.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I hope I'm wrong about this, Ian. Ian O'Connor, kind enough to sit in today. Tiki out. I would love to see Aaron Judge challenging 600 home runs, 650 home runs. Dare I say the magic 700 number. But I've been sitting here with my calculator. It is very difficult to imagine that Aaron Judge, A, will be able to stay healthy enough and be able to do that in his 40s to up the number. Because right now, for those scoring at home, Aaron Judge is sitting at 305.
Mm-hmm.
So he is not even halfway to that big 700 number. And he's really only had, if you do the math, 3, maybe 4 seasons in which he's been fully healthy. A lot of other years have been affected by injury. Obviously, you had the pandemic year. So can we make the leap of faith that that's going to change over the next 6, 7 years where he's always healthy? You know what I mean?
Well, I think he can get to Willie Mays at 660. And that's a historic number, even though it's obviously not the record. And I think that's a very worthy pursuit for him. I think it's doable for him. Again, let's not put him in a box and let's not put any ceilings on his dreams, because he is a very unique player that we've never seen before in Major League Baseball. He's basically an NBA or an NFL player playing Major League Baseball. Just haven't seen it. So I think that he could certainly get to 600. I think the DH position for him will be very valuable later in his career to keep him healthy. And he's just a special athlete. And he's also a special guy who carries himself the right way. That's why that Little League story I knew right away was a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Because Aaron Judge is like, we're lucky right now to have Aaron Judge and Jalen Brunson in this town.
Yeah, Aaron Judge reminds me of Jeter in this regard, and it's a compliment. No one's perfect, I get that. They almost seem perfect. Like, you don't hear anything negative. You never did about Derek Jeter during his Major League career. You never did. And the same thing with Aaron Judge. And when a story comes out, like a Little League coach accusing Aaron Judge of being mean to kids and ignoring them, the natural reaction all of us have is to say, yeah, that guy's full of crap. That's like the natural reaction. Because we feel like we know Aaron Judge well enough to say he wouldn't do something like that.
That's right.
But here's the problem for Aaron Judge, as we've discussed. You want to be Derek Jeter? You got to win. Now, that's not all on him. A lot of that's going to have to do with Marcus Stroman and Carlos Rodon and Gerrit Cole and certainly the rest of this Yankee lineup. But it is impossible to imagine a guy ever coming close to the popularity of Jeter without winning a title. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. I apologize. You have something to add on that?
No, I was just going to say, why couldn't Aaron Judge have gotten David Cone and Andy Pettit and El Duque and David Wells and Mariano? And I do think there are Yankee fans out there who are smart enough and old enough to have remembered that would apply that set of circumstances to, again, transferring Judge back to the 90s. And I do think he needs one. I don't think he needs more than that.
You know why he couldn't get those guys? I give you a nice phrase that you can read out of ripping open a fortune cookie, and it's just the reality of life, because life's not fair. That's why. Instead, he was stuck with other options in his lineup and in his rotation and a different manager.
Now, he's done okay for himself.
He's done all right. Nobody's feeling bad for him.
That's right.
Let's go to Frank in Scotch Plains. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. How are you? Hey, listen, let me preface this with saying that Aaron Judge is the epitome of what a baseball player should be, off the field, on the field, and so forth.
He's about to rip him now. Yes, go ahead.
But here we go, okay? He's hitting .211. Okay, and has the record for the most strikeouts in the postseason. Okay, now, more importantly, and this is for Ian, really, because Evan, I agree with you. It's not even close if he doesn't bring championships to New York in October. Okay, let me preface this. Everybody's talking about, hey, he's going to hit 850 home runs. I'm just throwing out a silly number, right? 750 home runs. He does that, and he doesn't win one World Series. Do you think he trades those statistics or his career statistics for Paul O'Neill's statistics and four rings?
No.
Tell me.
No.
Paul O'Neill, not even Jeter.
He's so much better than Paul O'Neill, it's not even funny.
No, but that's not the question, sir. That's not the question. The question is, do you think he would trade a career of 725 home runs for Paul O'Neill's statistics, but four rings?
I understood the question, and the answer is no.
Yeah, I agree with Ian on that. No! Like, because no offense to Paul O'Neill, because Paul O'Neill's a wonderful baseball player. A wonderful baseball player. Paul O'Neill has to buy a ticket to go to Cooperstown. I don't mean that as an insult, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Unfortunately, he's just not. Are you asking, would a Hall of Famer, a first ballot Hall of Famer, where Judge is headed towards, would you give up that career to win a lot and have to buy a ticket to go to the Hall of Fame? I don't know many athletes seeing that would ever do that.
Yeah, and I actually think this conversation could be moot in November, frankly. I have a feeling the Yankees will win it this year. I have felt that for a while.
No. You know why it's funny? I think they have a chance to win, too. You know why it's not moot? Because you know what the conversation would be 1 year from now at this time?
It's 5-1 Jeter.
Yes. Yes. You think I'm kidding?
Well, listen, and I'm not trying to bring up my book here, okay? I want to try
bring it up, man.
Approximate Tiki's greatness, and I'm failing, but I'll try to come close. And it's, but Aaron Rodgers has to live with that because it's 7-1. Brady has 7, and he's got 1. But
yes.
You talk to anyone in the NFL, defensive players. I was talking to Pat Leonard about this yesterday. They will say Aaron Rodgers in a heartbeat was a better, much better physical talent than Tom Brady, without question. And so now I think that, like, Aaron Rodgers, he has a ring, and would he trade his career for Brady's? Yes, I think he would. Would Aaron Judge trade 700 home runs and no rings for Paul O'Neill's? I don't know what his home run total was, but O'Neill was a very good player, without question. He won the 4 rings. No, he's not doing that. Because baseball is just so different. When you're a quarterback in football, a two-guard in basketball, you just have so much more control over the outcome and championships, and I think most sports fans realize that.
Well, also, like, because I remember we had this discussion, believe it or not, it was related to Rodgers and Manning. Which rookie quarterback was asked this question? I'm trying to remember. A young quarterback was asked about what career you'd rather have, the career of Eli Manning or the career of Aaron Rodgers. And that one was a little bit more interesting of a debate. Rodgers clearly has had a better career. I think we all know that. Eli won 2, Rodgers won 1. And it became a, well, would you rather have a borderline Hall of Fame career and win 2 rings or a no doubt about Hall of Fame career and win 1? Those are at least comparable. Right? C.J. Stroud, thank you. So it wasn't even a rookie. Second-year player C.J. Stroud.
He went with Eli's, too, right?
He went with Eli's. But that one's at least, I disagree with him, too, but at least it's closer. Like, asking about a first-ballot Hall of Famer versus a guy who was very good but is not a Hall of Famer is such an enormous drop-off. Like, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So, hey, would you rather be the third greatest quarterback of all time with 1 ring or the number 1 quarterback? You know what I mean? Like, it's close enough where I could understand you taking the rings.
So you would take Aaron Rodgers' career over Eli's,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so would
yes,
I. Yes. Now, if Aaron Rodgers had no rings, what would you do?
Four
MVPs, which is the second most ever. Peyton Manning has 5.
Yeah.
Brady has 3. So I'm giving you 4 MVPs. Basically, a great player every year, you're healthy, but no rings, versus Eli's inconsistency, 500 record in the regular season, and 2 rings. I actually would take Eli's there.
Yeah, I think the 0 rings thing would be tough to get past.
Right.
And speaking of Aaron Judge and rings, he was asked yesterday a question that had nothing to do with rings, and he immediately brought it up. He was asked yesterday, not about the all-time home run record, but, hey, Aaron, you're on pace to hit 60 again. Right. What are your thoughts on chasing your own American League record? And take a listen to how Aaron Judge chose to answer that question.
If it comes with a ring and a lot of fun in the playoffs, then definitely that'd be cool.
You know what that means? He understands. It means Aaron Judge, if he's listening to Sports Talk Radio on his drive to Yankee Stadium, and by the way, Aaron, if you are, shut the radio off. The best advice I'll give you is do not listen to us. Do not listen to Sports Talk Radio. But if accidentally you're a big Ian O'Connor fan, you heard he was on, you're like, you know what? I want to listen. I want to listen to this guy. I don't want to listen to Evan. I want to listen to him. Aaron Judge is probably nodding along with the conversation because that kind of answer shows you he understands how important it is in this city to win.
He does. And that was the greatness of Jeter, too, is that he could block all this out. And when one of Jeter's friends started to tell him, by the way, did you read that column in the dailies? No, stop. Do not tell me. I don't want to hear it. He was the best I've ever seen at blocking out negativity. Now, Derek Jeter was a very sensitive human being. You slighted him once, like Aaron Rodgers, you got cut out of his circle. And so he was not a forgiving guy, but he did not ever want to hear criticism. He didn't want to listen to the radio. He didn't read columns. And stuff would occasionally trickle back to him, and he could hold a grudge for a long time.
Right.
But he was the best at making, and actually in the postseason, at making big moments small when he got to the plate. And A-Rod, unfortunately, until 2009, he made it bigger than it had to be when he got to the plate because he was thinking about, what is Evan Roberts going to say about me tomorrow if I strike out here? And Derek Jeter never thought about
that. Well, and that's an incredible attribute for Jeter, and I'm certainly not thinking Aaron Judge does listen to criticism, but so far throughout his major league career in the postseason, Aaron Judge has resembled A-Rod more than he's resembled Derek Jeter.
True.
That's just the reality, unfortunately. Chris is calling from Brooklyn. How you doing, Chris?
How's it going, Evan? Nice to speak to you, Ian.
You too, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in because I guess I'm going to be one of those harsh Yankee fans that lived through the 90s, but it's just my opinion that Judge needs the ring not just to be better than Jeter, but to save his legacy. Because there's one point I don't think anybody's made in this conversation is that if Judge goes the rest of his career, which you guys were speculating, without a ring, That's another 7, maybe 10 years if he has an extension with no ring. That's 25 years, no Yankee championship. He will have presided over the biggest failure in Yankee history. Statistically, 25 years, no rings, no World Series.
Yeah.
That would be a mark on his legacy that I don't think 700 or 800 home runs can get rid of.
I mean, listen,
it's unfair,
if you put it that way.
But it's so true. Like, and this is a part of what's so unfair. You know, you mentioned earlier about what it would be like in this city if the Knicks won a title led by Jalen Brunson. The confetti wouldn't even come down and the statue would be built. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. And that's because of how pathetic the New York Knicks and the New York Jets have been in their history. That's the reason. So they're being rewarded based on how inept Richard Todd was. I mean, that's just the reality. How inept Eddie Curry was. Judge is facing the exact opposite. Yes, it's tough to win a championship. Yes, it's about your teammates. But he's right. If he never won a World Series, he would be the star player of an era that saw the longest championship drought in the history of the franchise. Fair or not, that's the reality.
What also hurts Judge, if you look at it that way, let's say he doesn't win a ring and he goes another 10 years. And that is going to look like a canyon-esque hole in his resume and his legacy without question, because the Yankees every year have one of the top three payrolls in baseball, basically. So people will look at that and say, well, the budget was there, and so therefore the talent must have been there, even though we know it hasn't been, not nearly like with Jeter and his dynastic team. So history will not remember that kindly. Again, if you're someone who doesn't take into account that the superstar has like no impact on winning in baseball, very little compared to the other sports. I know that gets forgotten. Nobody wants to talk about it. He's a franchise player. He is an all-time great. And if he doesn't win a ring, it's going to hang with him forever. But it's really not fair in baseball. It really isn't. And I learned it the hard way. And I remember having a conversation with A-Rod at his locker before he won that ring in 2009. And he said, well, you guys say the same things about Barry Bonds, he hasn't won a ring. If Barry Bonds was in the NBA, he'd have four rings right now, five rings. It was his way of saying, I'd have four, too.
But here's the difference. And it, completely not fair, but it goes back to the franchise you play for. Barry Bonds, when he ended his career ringless, was ringless for a franchise. Talking about the Giants, less so the Pirates, obviously, because I think the bulk of his career and when he became all-timer was with the Giants. That's a franchise that, when Barry Bonds retired, had zero rings in San Francisco. Zero. So there wasn't like a legacy you were battling. Now, obviously that changed very quickly after his retirement because they went on to win three world championships. But I do think that's one of the big differences. Like, A-Rod's trying to battle and win a championship in a city and on a franchise that had won often. Barry Bonds was trying to be the first. And there's a huge difference between the two. Like, you win one, you're a god. You win one with the Yankees, not enough. And that's the thing you battle. I also think what's going to be very difficult for Judge, because this hasn't happened yet, and I don't think we realize this. When you look back at all of his postseasons going back to 2017, there has not yet been a postseason where an opponent said, we're not letting him beat us. Hasn't happened yet. If you look at each of the rounds, he's never had a round in the postseason where a team decided, we're not going to face him. Like the Astros series, the ALCS, the year in which Aaron Judge had a historical season. He was walked one time. Mm-hmm. They went after him. I wonder this season, they're playing the Minnesota Twins in the first round of the playoffs. They may not face him. Judge may be in a spot where he doesn't even get the opportunity to get big hits because teams may take the approach, they probably should take the approach, Ian, of we're not facing this guy.
Yeah, but then you have to deal with Soto.
Well,
so you can't walk both guys all the time. I guess you can.
Well, the Mets did.
Yeah, I guess you can. I think when runs are at a premium in the postseason, that's tough to do that.
It's tough to do if Giancarlo makes you pay, if Austin Wells makes you pay. You're right.
And by the way, Stan's had some decent postseason performances, which gets forgotten when people look at his Yankee career. It's really more shaped and talked about in a negative context. But his numbers in the postseason for the Yankees is pretty good.
1,000%.
Yeah.
That is one thing about Giancarlo. He does not get enough. Doesn't get enough credit for it.
Right?
No doubt. Let's go to Rich in Brick, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, what's on, Evan? How you doing today?
We're good.
I'm going to go with the opposite, why I feel that Judge is not going to make it. And it's because you hear the statement all the time, there's one person that you can't beat, and that's Father Time. Look at the peripheral designated hitters. Don Baylor, with the Yankees. I grew up in the same era that Ian did. You know, his last year, he was 39, and he batted a career low of 220 and slugged 326. He only had 7 home runs and 34 runs batted in through 92 games. And then you look also at Eddie Murray, who retired at age 41 in 1997.
Right.
His last season, 222 batting average, 3 home runs, 18 RBIs, and 37 hits.
No, there is, other than Bonds because of the steroids, there is not a long track record of guys performing at that kind of high level into their 40s. Look at Joey Votto, who just retired. He's 39 years old. He hasn't been the same player in like 5 or 6 years. So Aaron Judge would have to defy father time, which, hey, every once in a while a guy does. There's no track record of it recently, but maybe Aaron Judge, like you said, he's so unique in terms of his size, in terms of what he's accomplished. Maybe he would be the guy to defy logic when it comes to breaking down at that age.
That's the way I look at it. They're going to have to get him out of center field in his mid-30s at some point. I know he's not playing there all the time, but he is, it's just a guy I've never seen play the sport before. That's why I'm trying to be open-minded to the possibility that he can go to 43, 44 at a high level, protected by the DH position, putting up big numbers, and getting into that historic territory with career home runs. I just wish he got into the major leagues when he was 21. And listen, he had to develop. I've talked to scouts who thought he was terrible
right
coming out of high school and early on in the minor leagues. I had guys who really thought he was a bum and on the record admitting it. And so it's been a remarkable journey for him, really. And it's a shame because he's worthy of it. And the way he carries himself, he is Derek Jeter. He's just much bigger.
So let me ask you this.
And he's better.
Yes. Let me ask you this. When are you going to write a book about him? Is that on your docket?
That's a good question. And Brian Hoke just wrote a book about 62, his season. And I would think that is a little bit down the road. And you know what I'm going to tell you is he needs to win a ring for me to write a book about him.
You're a hard ass.
Well, you asked me a question. How does he pass Jeter? And I said, well, he's got to win one. I don't think he's got to win multiple because I do think baseball just is, it's an unfair proposition for the superstar athlete. But I'll feel better about it. Like, I don't know if I would have written the Aaron Rodgers book without a ring. In fact, there was somebody in my publishing house who said, he only has one ring. Are you sure you want to do this?
Really?
Yeah. Because I was going to do LeBron James. I was under contract. Do we want to switch off LeBron, who is either the best or the second best player of all time with 4 rings, for a guy who has 1? And I was like, yeah, but he's got the 4 MVPs, which is more than Tom Brady. He's coming to New York, and he's a fascinating character to study. So I sold that guy. He was now happy because the book is selling. And so, yeah, but now if he was at 0, I don't think I would have done it.
Wow.
So I think Judge gets the 1, and I think I would sign up for that.
If Aaron Rodgers, I always get confused, especially when we talk about both of these mega Aarons, if Aaron Rodgers had not won that Super Bowl that he had won, a year that still bothers me because that was a year where the Jets were in the AFC Championship game. They lost to Pittsburgh. Obviously, Green Bay beat Chicago Soldier Field.
Hold on 1 second. I was at that game. Rex Ryan did an incredible job the week before to beat the Patriots.
Yes.
Right? He had them foaming at the mouth, and it worked.
Yes.
But there was a letdown that next week.
Ian, let me tell you something.
He said he made it personal with Belichick, and it worked, but he loved Tomlin. And all of a sudden, the temperature of the team came down, and I covered that week, and I was there in Pittsburgh. The first half, they were actually in the AFC Championship game, the Jets were not ready to compete.
No, they got their ass kicked in the first half.
By the time they woke up, they were clearly better than the Steelers.
If there were 3 more minutes left on the clock,
they win the game.
Yeah. If they got off the field on 3rd down, Bruce Arians drew up a beautiful play, Ben Roethlisberger too. I think it was Antonio Brown, a young Antonio Brown. I said this because I was in the stadium that night. I said it to our producer at the time. I said, if we get off the field here, we're going to the Super Bowl. But you know what's so crazy? And this is not as a reporter, this is as a fan. I'm sitting there on Monday after they beat the Patriots with Joe. We're doing the midday show, and Joe's obviously ecstatic. I'm ecstatic. I was just in New England. And I say, but Joe, I got a sick feeling. And he's like, what do you mean, bro? Well, why? I said, just the sense I get. And I turned out to be right based on what you're saying. I said, I got a sense that it's all going to be a letdown against the Steelers. They beat the boogeyman.
They've been in the abyss for 55 freaking years.
Oh, we know, bro. You beat the Patriots. The emotion of it, the Bart Scott wrestling promo, everything. You beat the boogeyman. Like, nothing matches that. And I was afraid all week about a letdown against the Steelers. And you just gave us some more kind of art to it. But it was the truth.
It was the blessing and the curse of having Rex Ryan as your head coach. He pushed the right human button and said, it is personal with Belichick.
Yeah.
And this is personal. And they went up there, and that was an amazing day. It really was. I was in Foxborough for that game. Mm. It was unbelievable what the Jets did that day. And then the next day or two, I love Mike Tomlin. It's not personal. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Now the temperature of the team is coming all the way down. And it was like the U.S. hockey team in 1980 in Lake Placid. They beat the boogeyman in the semifinal,
right.
But Herb Brooks found a way to beat Finland for the gold medal. They lost to Finland, and they couldn't get back up. It was too late. By the time they got their temperature back up to compete at the highest level, it was halftime of the AFC Championship game, and they were in a hole they couldn't dig out of, and it's a shame because they would have won the whole thing that year.
Yeah, well, I mean, now, that's the only reason I brought this up. So if they do win the whole thing that year, and Rodgers and the Packers don't win that Super Bowl very early in his starting career, I wonder how different everything plays out. Like, I almost think getting that title early just changes things. It just changes everything. Maybe it changes his exit. Maybe it changes his decision to come to the Jets knowing, oh, crap, I got to chase a ring. Am I really going there? Am I really going to a franchise that's never won? I do wonder if he had zero, like, how different everything plays out. Because I think getting one, it's so damn important. You don't want to have that legacy. I don't mean to rip Dan Marino. Dan's one of the greatest of all time. But you don't want to be Dan Marino.
Hey, and by the way, Dan Marino, people say, oh, poor Dan Marino. And he didn't have the support maybe at times to win a Super Bowl. But he did have two Hall of Fame coaches, right? And Shula and Johnson.
Sure.
And Aaron had McCarthy and LaFleur. And it was not bad, but certainly not Belichick and other greats. So I think that getting that, Aaron Rodgers won four of his first five postseason games,
yeah,
including the Super Bowl.
And the one he lost was that overtime game against the Cardinals where it was 51-45.
He was unbelievable in that game.
Yeah.
So I think he was a fearless player back then. I do think he's lost a little of that in the postseason later in his career. Now, going to the Jets made a lot of sense because he saw, okay, it's 7-1 rings, Brady to me, right? And that's the guy I'm always compared against, and he's better than Brady physically. I can't catch him, but one thing I can do, if I win a championship for the Jets in New York, that's going to feel like three or four rings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Now, Messier had five cups, and still the six felt like two or three cups.
Yes.
Or four.
Yes.
And I think that if he gets the two with the Jets, he suddenly is right back up there almost with Brady on that mountaintop.
It's a great point. Now, I don't know how the national football fan would look at it because they probably don't give a rat's ass about us in New York. But I know we in New York, Aaron Rodgers would be Mark Messier on steroids. Like, that's literally who he'd be to all of us for the next, 30 years. He'll never have to buy a drink in this town, but we'll see if they can actually pull that off.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.